This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to continue our DeAndre Hopkins tour. Let's head to Cleveland to be joined by my guy, Chico Borman. He is the host of the Chico Borman Show. Chico, man, long time no talk. How you been, my man?
C-Dot, I am great, man. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. So I think that Cleveland is kind of underrated the favorite to go get DeAndre Hopkins. I'm sure you've been seeing the same reports that I've seen over these last couple of days about the relationship between Hopkins and Watson. You know how invested Cleveland is in Deshaun Watson as a quarterback. I think they're the favorite right now.
No. I'm going to respectfully disagree. And I think it's you guys in Buffalo, only because those were the two – and not – you know, no revelation. Those are the two teams that were talking extensively, supposedly, from Albert Breer as far as I'm not saying that Cleveland, you know, would anyone have interest in bringing DeAndre Hopkins in? Well, hell yes. But I think what we're doing here is, and we tend to do that here in Cleveland every now and then. Oh my gosh, Deshaun Watson just said that he would love to be reunited with DeAndre Hopkins. Oh, of course he would. Like, and I'm sure DeAndre Hopkins, I don't know. I mean, does Cleveland check every one of his boxes? First of all, he's going to want some serious cash. I mean, if Odell Beckham Jr. got 15, now, from a money standpoint, the Browns will clear up as of June 1st. John Johnson, that was a nice signing a couple years ago. John Johnson will be off the book, so that'll save him $15 million. I honestly I'm taking all kinds of hell here in Cleveland, which is nothing new, but I feel like I'm being Mr. Pessimist, but I just, if it happens, great. But I think people are here, at least, are getting way over the top with, like, oh my gosh, did you hear what Deshaun Watson said? Well, yeah, they played together. They made great music together. And I'm sure if Cleveland can pay him what he wants, he'd come here. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. And I also think that, I mean, Deshaun Watson is fantastic, but he wants to play with a great quarterback. Last I checked, Carrington, you guys have a guy that wears 15 who's really, really good.
But Chico, this is where I think Cleveland has a shot. And you obviously got a great pulse of the people in Cleveland. I think Chiefs fans want DeAndre Hopkins, but I think the Chiefs have kind of set this, hey, this is our price. And I don't think that DeAndre Hopkins kind of fits into their price. When you look at what Odell got, he got $15 million with a chance for it to be $18 million. The Chiefs have spent no money on wide receiver this offseason. They had a chance to bring Juju back at $11 million. They said no. They had other chances to bring in wide receivers. They said no. If Hopkins was going for like $6 to $8 million, then I think he's a Chief 24 hours after he gets released, or I think the Chiefs just would have traded for him, honestly. But the fact that his price tag to me is so high, he's going to go to a team like Cleveland that is like around the playoffs, a little bit on the outside, that feels like he can be a difference maker. Maybe it's not Cleveland per se, but it's like a Cleveland, a Detroit. It's one of those kind of teams, in my opinion.
Oh, okay. Yeah. From that perspective, I would agree with you, although, you know, I'd go back to, you know, how serious was he and his agent when they put out there that, I mean, it's not like his demands are a whole lot. He wants a lot of money. He'd like to play with a great quarterback, and he wants to play with a defense that's really good because defense wins championships. And, you know, how this is where, you know, put your money where your mouth is. If you really, truly believe that, you know, hey, Kansas City, and of course, why wouldn't he, or Buffalo, is in a better spot than Cleveland, then you go ahead and do that. I mean, he absolutely has that connection with Deshaun Watson, but I the money that the Browns supposedly have, I just think Andrew Berry, I know you have Deshaun Watson. I know you're paying him, and you gave up a whole bunch of capital, and you went through all of the shenanigans and off the field stuff. So, hey, if Deshaun Watson puts out a comment that, hey, I'd love to be reunited with DeAndre Hopkins, of course Andrew Berry's going to listen. And I'm sure that Andrew Berry's been in contact with him. But I think when we get down to brass tacks and money, I think Andrew Berry realizes, like, speaking of defense, okay, we've added a lot in the defensive line, added your boy Juan Thornhill, who we're excited about here in Cleveland. We might still need some, you know, some reinforcement on that side of the ball. And I just, to me, I don't want to say it's not money well spent because it's DeAndre Hopkins, but, you know, you traded for Elijah Moore, you brought in Marquise Goodwin, you have Amari Cooper, none of those guys, and I'm not saying that, none of those guys is DeAndre Hopkins, but I just don't think this is something that Andrew Berry would bite on unless it's not as much money as I believe or you believe.
Right now, we're talking to Chico Boorman in Cleveland, getting the Browns' perspective on on DeAndre Hopkins. I thought that Cleveland was a realistic option. Chico disagrees. This is a side note, I guess, has something to do with D-Hop, but doesn't have anything to do. What are fans saying about Deshaun Watson once he finally played? I'm not talking about the off-the-field stuff, but he wasn't good at the end of the season, but it's also understandable because he hadn't played in a year and a half, too. How are fans feeling about their quarterback situation going into this upcoming season?
Cautiously optimistic is what I would say. I think you're right. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. And I think, again, and this is what fans do, and there's nothing wrong with it, especially here. I mean, these fans have been dragged through the mud year after year since they came back into the league. So, you know, but a lot of folks around here seem to believe that Deshaun Watson was just going to jump into a phone booth, put on the Superman cape, come out and start flinging it all around the yard. And it just doesn't work that way. I mean, the guy hadn't played a game in 700 days. You're still getting to know your teammates. It's his team now. And technically, I guess it was his team when they made that deal. But if you're not around, then, you know, it's kind of tough to establish that. Now, he's, and by all indications, the guys love him. And I have no reason to think otherwise. He seems like a great teammate. Everybody loves him. Is the guy talented? We've already seen glimpses of him throwing it with some guys. And I mean, it's, you know, it's Deshaun Watson, but, I would say that they're always optimistic, but I think the last couple of seasons have really tempered expectations for even the, you know, the hardiest of fans out there.
Chico, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds to me like you think DeAndre Hopkins is either going to Buffalo or Kansas City.
I'll just say I don't think he's coming to Cleveland. I want him to come to Cleveland. I don't think he's coming to Cleveland. And if I were to lean one way or two ways, I think KC and Buffalo make sense. Now, your point, very well taken. You know, Kansas City's earned that. That's the luxury you have of being where you're at, you know. The organization, the winning, you say, okay, here's our price. How bad do you want to win? We'll see. But, that's fair to say.
I mean, that's just how the Chiefs have really operated this entire time, and that's basically what happened with Tyreek Hill. I understand that was at a much higher level, but, I mean, Devontae Adams signed that deal. I think the Chiefs and Tyreek Hill were working on a negotiation. The plan was for him to be long-term. The market changed. The number went up, and I think the Chiefs stood firm. And I think at that point, Tyreek Hill and his agent said, well, if you're not going to pay me what the market says, trade me. And I think the Chiefs traded him in like a week. So I just think that they have kind of set this tone, especially because, like, they sit from a position of power. They win. also with their quarterback contract, that we're not going to overspend for these things because it doesn't move the needle enough for us. We're going to win our division. We're going to win double-digit games. We're going to be good regardless. So that's why for D-Hop, if he signs for what you and I think he's going to sign for, I think he's going to get at least $12 million. Kansas City is not giving DeAndre Hopkins $12 million next year.
Okay, let me ask you this. You can help me out for my show. Are there rumors at all about like what would get it done from either his vantage point or what Kansas City is looking to spend or can spend roughly?
So there was a story from Albert Breer that says they wanted to sign a contract that was very similar to the one they got Donovan Smith. So Donovan Smith signed for 1 year, $3 million, and with a chance of it being $9 million in incentives. Now, D-Hop probably takes a little bit more guaranteed, but if I had to guess, Kansas City wants him to sign like a 1 year, $6 million deal that can be up to 15 with incentives, where if you're D-Hop, hold on, I just saw Odell Beckham get $15 million guaranteed. Why would I take this and now I got to go earn the rest where if I get injured or something happens, I'm not going to be able to get my money? That's why I don't think Kansas City's viable.
That's fair. The other thing that's in play here is, you know, Andrew Berry's looking around the division, and I'm not saying you're making moves based on what Baltimore's doing or Cincinnati's doing, but, you know, Lamar Jackson is signed, and well, they brought in Odell Beckham Jr., and is that, you know, does that make – I mean, he's really worked on it. He worked on the defensive line, and they worked on that wide receiver room. And, again, none of those guys, even as great as Amari Cooper is, and I love him, he's not D-Hop, but – I just can't see Andrew Berry biting. Then again, he went the distance twice, not once, but twice for Jadeveon Clowney. So it could happen. I don't think it will. I think fans are getting really, really excited about something that's probably not going to come to fruition.
I mean, but Chico, that sounds like the history of Cleveland sports though, right?
And it's so good to touch base with you again. Yes, you're exactly right. That's it. Like they get excited and, you know, and again, it's not the fans' fault. I mean, like I said, they've been dragged through the mud regime after regime. Okay, 2020 happened, COVID happened, and Kevin Stefanski comes in. All right, we're well on our way. Oops, we had some, you know, locker room issues, and oops, we didn't figure out, you know, the whole Baker Mayfield thing. And, well, let's go get Deshaun. I mean, it's just, trust me, I want more than anything, I want it for those fans. And myself included. I'm a little biased, I guess. Maybe I shouldn't be. But you're right. That is the story. They get their hopes up, and then they get dashed. So maybe this is the new route. We go in with low expectations, and then we're pleasantly surprised. We shall see.
That is my guy Chico Boorman joining us on the show today. I'll tell you a quick story about Chico. The day that Missouri hired Dennis Gates as their coach, he said, "You're going to be happy with Missouri's head coach," because I was not incredibly happy with their coach. But you know what, Chico? You ended up being right. I love Dennis Gates.
Have you had a chance to talk to him or meet him?
I have not yet. No, I have not got a chance to meet him. Hopefully this season, but no, I have not got a chance to meet him yet.
He is as great a coach as he is. He's an even better guy. Like I'm happy as hell for you guys because he's fantastic. And what he did in a short amount of time was nothing short of incredible. And he's just a good all around dude. So I'm looking forward to you meeting him and getting your reaction.
That is Chico Boorman joining us on the show today. Thanks, Chico.
Always fun, buddy. Thank you.
That's my guy, Chico Boorman, joining us on the show today. He's one of my favorite people to talk to from around the country. We'll get back to DeAndre Hopkins in a bit because we got way more important stuff to figure out. You know what I need? I need you guys to do me one favor. I need full phone lines here, 913-586-7610. This is why. Rob and I are at complete opposite ends of a people's court. Opposite ends of a people's court. So I need real life people to answer and help break this tie. I'm not going to say the conversation got heated between Rob and I earlier, but it definitely was some animosity and some bad blood. I need people to break this dead heat tie that we are in. 913-586-7610. I'll tell you what it is next. Keep it right here to drive.
The Drive with noted Missouri fan Carrington Harrison.
I don't want to talk about it because it's just going to upset me, and I have to put down Missouri, and I don't really want to talk about it.
Brought to you by the D. Pasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this on 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
There's a dispute, and we need you to settle it. It's time for the People's Court on The Drive.
Court is now in session.
So there was a tweet that was sent by Roy Woods Jr., who's a very popular stand-up comedian. And the question was, if you bring a bottle to the barbecue function, but no one cracks open the bottle, who keeps possession of the bottle? Is it the person who brought it to the function, or is it the homeowner or person throwing the function? So I told Rob, hey, we should talk about this today. What's our other option? Talking about the 17-38 Kansas City Royals. And he said, you know what? You make a good choice. We should talk about this. And Rob looked at me and said, well, of course it's mine. Like, what do you mean? He was like, I brought it for us to drink. We didn't drink it. Now I'm going to go drink it. Hold on. That doesn't sound accurate to me. Now, I know that you guys think that I'm the cheapest human being alive, and sometimes you're right. But I do try to follow normal decorum, and this is my thought process on this. If you invite me over to your house and I bring you a bottle of wine, I am bringing that to you as a gift, as a gesture. You don't have to crack open the bottle of wine right now. We don't need to share it together. Thank you for inviting me over to your home. I hand you the wine. If I pull up at the function and I bring a six-pack of Modelos and nobody drinks the Modelos, that was my admission to come to the function. This is what I brought. I ate, I drank, I played the games with you guys. This was my admission for coming. This is my gift. I paid my cover to come to your function. That's what I thought. Rob looked at me with utter contempt and disgust and said that I was wrong. Rob, stand before the people and state your case.
Let me ask you a question. Let's say you bring a food item. Let's say you bring a side dish or an appetizer or something of that nature. And it doesn't really get eaten. It kind of gets picked at, but it's mostly still existing. Like, let's say you brought a dessert, whatever. You brought a food item and most of it goes uneaten. Do you take that home? Because I would say in that scenario, you take the food home. So what makes the unopened or undrank bottle of booze any different? If you pop it, even if one person has a glass of wine, if one person has a bourbon, if one person has a whatever, that is now the homeowner's, because I'm not taking an open bottle back to my home. But if I'm willing to take, you know, an appetizer I brought back because it didn't get totally eaten, or I'm going to bring brownies back because the whole, you know, pan didn't get eaten, that's the same to me as bringing the bottle, especially if it's unopened.
Okay,
you
take really quickly here before we go to the phones and before we read some texts. If you take food to the function and nobody eats the food, that's an indictment on you. Nobody here wanted to try it? Not a single person. Rob, let's say you came to me with the function and you brought gin to the party. Ain't nobody drinking that, but it's a gift. What's stopping you in your scenario from buying something that you know probably isn't going to be a hit at the function making it seem like it's a good gesture, but taking it with you. Rob, there's some places that you can go that, you know what? They ain't drinking IPAs. Don't nobody want that. You think you're going to pull up at the function with a couple of IPAs? Oh, hey, I brought some beer. Nobody is drinking that over the course of the evening. Not a single person wants to partake.
And that's my
point. I don't
point.
Think you can do this. And I also think, and someone on the text line makes a good point, you brought the container. So I could understand why at the end of the day, hey, I brought this potato salad. Now you take the potato salad back because I didn't give you this Tupperware. That's not the gift. I brought the food. I'm taking it back. If you bring a bottle of Crown Apple to the function, no, you don't get to take the Crown Apple home. The person who owns the home now has a brand new bottle. And who knows when they'll drink it? Maybe they give it away as a gift. Maybe they drink it tomorrow. Maybe they drink it during the NBA Finals. I don't care. It's yours. Do with it what you want. But no, that was your admission price for coming over here. And you had five chicken wings. I didn't charge you for that. I didn't hit you up on the Venmo. I didn't hit you up on the Apple Pay to help pay for the meats. All I asked you to do was bring a gesture of appreciation, and you did this. The text line is surprised at my stance here. I don't know what kind of brand that I've built. What kind of monster do you guys think that I am? You guys think I'm a monster? I would show up to the function and then leave with what I brought? Come on now. I can't believe you guys think so low of me.
They do think very little of you. I think taking it home is an admission of you're holding an L and you have to return that L back to your house. Let's say you invite me over. Hey, Rob, come by. The NBA Finals are on. Bring something. I'll be like, oh, thanks, man. I'll come over to your apartment. And I brought a bottle of white wine. No one is drinking that white wine. I have to take that home now, and I have to deal the embarrassment of I missed the mark. When I walk out with my bottle of wine, it is the scarlet letter. It is a sign that I was wrong. I don't know why I thought people here would drink this. I'm a loser for bringing it. My bad. It's an admission of guilt. But if I bring some over that people like, it definitely stays. Hey, I brought some to the party. But if I bring gin over and no one pops it, no one drinks it, I'm not going to then straddle you with gin that will sit there undrank for weeks and weeks and weeks. I'm going to return it home as an admission of guilt.
So you could drink it.
I don't like gin either, but it's, you know what? I'm not straddling you the burden of something you don't like.
All right, text line 913-586-7610. We are talking about this because very famous stand-up comedian Roy Woods, he actually has the chance to host the Today Show. Or that's the name. That's the show, right?
The Daily Show.
Tonight Show?
The Daily Show.
The Daily Show. I knew it was one of those kind of shows. It was a show. He sent this tweet. If you bring a bottle to the barbecue function, but nobody cracks it open, who has possession of the bottle? Is it the person who brought the bottle or the homeowner or person that is throwing the function? I think the person that is throwing the function has possession of the bottle. Rob disagrees. Let's go to the phone lines. Mike, what side of this issue do you stand on? Who keeps the bottle?
It's tricky. I think etiquette would say homeowner. Myself, I would leave with that bottle. It might be in my waistband when I leave so no one sees it, but you said Modelo also. Six packs different than a bottle of Buffalo Trace. So that's going home with me.
All right, Mike, let me put you down here. All right, Mike said I'm taking the bottle with me. Mike said Denzel Washington. Mike, I'm leaving with something.
Mike makes my point, though. He's going to sneak it in his waistband because it's a scarlet letter. It's an admission that you failed. You brought something bad enough no one touched it.
That's not the scarlet letter. The scarlet letter is that you brought something and now you're taking it home. You're not proudly taking it back. That's why you got to be sneaky. That's why you got to do some underneath because you know you shouldn't be taking it. You know you shouldn't. You don't got to sneak out a to-go plate. I'm not taking that in shame. Hey, that chicken was good. I would like to have some of this chicken at a later date. Thank you. Thanks for making me a plate. I appreciate you. All right, bottle is winning right now. Let's go through these calls. Johnny, you called into the drive. What side of this are you on?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You leave the bottle with the host, but I am in favor of a to-go plate. Yeah, make a nice little to-go plate, wrap it up, get out of there, leave your bottle, and it'll probably get paid back to you at some point when you have a function.
Thank you, Johnny. I appreciate that. I appreciate you being on the right side of this thing, Waylon. What side are you on? Who gets to keep the bottle here?
So So for me personally, if I'm going to a function, I'm going to bring something that I like or that I know everyone likes. So I'm not leaving with something that's no one touched. But I think it just depends on the situation. You know, if you're going to like a celebration or a home morning place, you're going to give someone a gift. So I think you would leave it. But if you're like at a party, a barbecue in this case, I think you're allowed to take it if no one else wanted it, you know?
All right. I'm putting you down right now. All right. Taking the bottle home is in the lead 2-1, Rob. Taking the bottle home.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, if you brought it and no one drank it, I'm not straddling you with the burden of this thing that you clearly don't like. I'm sorry. I messed up. I'll take it home. I disagree with Waylon on the fact that he brings something that only he likes. That's a gift for yourself. I try to get something for the people, but sometimes you miss.
Someone says it depends on what it is and how much has been left. The host doesn't want a ton of leftovers. You know what I can live with having a ton of leftovers of? Free alcohol. That's what I can live with. Someone on the text line says if it's BYOB, you can keep it. I still don't think you can keep it in a BYOB situation. Because I, at least, maybe I'm off here. I assume at a BYOB function, I think the responsibility of the food is then on the person throwing the function. That's what I think. If you are inviting people over and you say it's BYOB, Rob's bringing a little Crown Apple, I'm bringing a six pack, people are bringing their own, I think it's the responsibility of the person that is doing the inviting. You got to have some food here. You got to have some pizza. You got to have some wings. You got to have some Rotel. You got to cook some nachos. You got to provide the food. So in the same way for the barbecue, I would say that this was the price of admission. We all contributed something. You brought alcohol. I fed you. Everybody had a fair exchange of goods and services. So even in a BYOB, I'm not leaving with that bottle. Nope, I'm leaving it there. I came here. I appreciate you having me. Here's this bottle of 360 vodka. Have a good day. Let's go back to the phone lines. Bottle is up right now. I'm starting to lose a lot of faith in our listeners right now. A lot of faith. All right, Tyler, where are you at on this? Who gets to keep the bottle?
All right, look, boys, it's a great argument, but if I'm bringing a bottle, it's a restricted free agent. I get dibs on that bottle. If I'm going to bring a bottle of Casamigos, it's going to be a natural bias. I like it. Everyone else might not like it. A bottle of wine, that's a traditional gift. But if you're bringing liquor, like I said, that's a restricted free agent. That's coming home with me.
All right, let me put you down here. All right, let me put you down.
I was surprised you were on the side you were on. Maybe that's because I fell victim to the same thing the text line did. But you seem like the, hey, I brought a bottle of Jack Daniels. No one liked it. I'm going to take this back to the crib of me. I didn't think you would be a leave behind guy, especially unopened. I think if it's open, the game is different.
Yeah,
but unopened,
if we're being honest, I mean, if you really want to know, if we're being honest, the bottle that I'm bringing over is less than $15. It's going to be less than $15. It's going to be less than $15. I'll bring two cheap bottles of wine. And I feel like I've done my part. That's more than anything. You guys can call me cheap. That might be true. I never want to be called a freeloader. I don't want you to think I came over here and I didn't contribute. Nah, man. I'd much rather you think I'm cheap than that. So sure, I'll bring over the box wine. Here, I got you the big box of Franzia. Go crazy. But I'm also going to enjoy. If I brought something over, oh, best believe, I'm not going to be shy when it comes time to eat. Now, I'm not going to go crazy here, but I want three wings. Give me one. No, I'm hungry. I came here to eat. I've contributed. I've done my part.
I think dropping off a $2 chuck is more disrespectful than
walking. 100% drop off a $2 chuck.
If I show up with an actual bottle of legitimate liquor, if I show up with a Buffalo Trace bottle, that caller earlier, and you don't pop that nice bottle, I'm taking that home. Dropping off a $2 chuck that just becomes, you know, sangria one day is not contributing to the function.
Something. What are you talking about? I'm either bringing you two cheap bottles of wine or I'm bringing a six pack. No, that's all I'm bringing you. You think I'm about to go get you? What, you think I'll buy a Crown Apple for this thing? Come on now. No, I'm not doing that. No. Because then everybody ain't going to be equal to what we bring. No, I'm bringing around $10 to $15 worth of value. Nothing more, nothing less to the function. Jason, how you doing, man?
Doing all right.
All right, which one of these sides are you on? Are you taking the bottle with you, or does the homeowner get to keep it?
I'm fixing me a to-go plate, and if nobody drank it,
I'm taking it home with my to-go plate, and I'm going to crack that bottle and toast to victory because I'm winning.
Thanks, Jason. Jason got over on those people. Got over. Eight didn't contribute anything but good conversation. He left with more than he came with? No. I can't believe that Bottle is going to win this People's Court. This is shameful behavior from you guys. Real shameful behavior.
If it's the bottle I brought, I'm taking it back unopened. I will say, I think to-go plate is foul.
Oh, I'm definitely taking a to-go plate.
You're a to-go plate? No.
100% taking a to-go plate.
No.
100%.
No, you...
almost every time I'm taking the to-go plate.
You were invited for the meal. You're not invited for the meal plus fourth meal plus lunch tomorrow.
That's a non-negotiable to me. It depends on what you made, too. Like, we had pizza and there's still some slices left. I'm not taking some pizza home. But if I come over to your house for Thanksgiving, the expectation is going to be that I am leaving here with a plate. I'm leaving with the plate. I'm leaving. 100%.
And that's crazy town. Like, if I invite you over, hey, man, we're having a big cookout. Come on over. I'm like, hey, I got some leftover burgers and stuff. And you were like, yeah, put them on my to-go container. I'd be like, what are you doing? That is not to-go food for you.
Let's go to the phone lines. It's our last call on this. Austin, who gets to keep the bottle?
Man, I'm with you, C-Dot, on this one. I know me and my friends, we'd probably get to it, but chances are, if we don't get to it, homeowners keeping it, we'll be there again.
You know what, Austin? I appreciate you, man. I mean, we lost. I mean, me and you, Austin, we lost in this. Rob won. I mean, that's how People's Court works, you know? I can't always agree with the jury. Sometimes the jury gets things wrong. I mean, OJ got acquitted, but, I mean, you know, what can I do? What can I do?
I'm just stunned that you're a to-go plate person, but
you're 100%.
You're going to dig this line in the sand 100%. Of, oh, no, I will drop my bottle of two-buck chuck off, and you can deal with that later.
Oh, I'm 100% leaving with the to-go plate. Come on now. Don't invite me over to your barbecue if I can't leave with the to-go plate. You're telling me I can't take a couple burgers home? I can't take one or two burgers home? I'm not saying I got to go crazy, but I can't. Hey, Grandma, can you wrap this up for me? Wrap this up for me. Thanks.
I also think a family event versus like friend events, totally different.
Rob, I might leave with a to-go plate at your reception. I might leave with a to-go plate.
What is
wrap
happening?
Wrap this up for me.
What is, no.
Hey, can you get that for me? Thank you. 100% leaving with a to-go plate. I can't believe that's the debate here. Now we're debating on whether or not you can take a to-go plate?
From a friend's event, no. A family function, that's different. Your family has built-in expectations. Like when I go to Thanksgiving, it's different. But when I go to my fiance's family, I don't bring a Tupperware being like, all right, here we go. I'm going to load up.
No, I'm not bringing a Tupperware. You got that paper plate and that aluminum foil, and I'm about to go crazy. That's what I'm about to do. I'm about to go crazy with this to-go plate. Thank you. Text line saying I'm wrong for that. I paid for this. That's how I look at it. I paid for this meal. I just brought you $14 worth of liquor. I paid for this.
You can't bring an $11 box of Franzia and walk out with $35 of food. You can't do that.
I did. $35? What do you think I make?
Well, you told me last week the functions you go to have lobster and shrimps.
I mean, that's a 4th of July only kind of thing, you know? That's when we're going crazy for the barbecue.
You're out here taking a tail home, eating people out of house and home.
Oh, I mean, if I know you cooking lobster tails, I might bring the Ciroc for that one. I'll bring the good stuff. I'll bring the good stuff to your function. If I know that's what we're doing today. All right, you know what? Let's get back to very, very serious things like sports. So today we have gone on a weird journey today. We went to Buffalo, we went to Cleveland, we went to Dallas. There was only one team that felt very confident about their chances of getting DeAndre Hopkins. We'll tell you who. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by the DePasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Hey, it's Mitchell Schwartz, and you are listening to my friend C-Dot.
My former friend, my former pal, Mitchell Schwartz joins us in studio. Mitch, you knew how important banging the drum was to me.
On The Drive.
I got distracted, but it's a good distraction. So, I saw a link to a story in the commercial break. Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated, who has been all over the DeAndre Hopkins release, free agency, whatever you want to call it. So, Rob, he talked to three different NFL executives anonymously to get their thoughts on DeAndre Hopkins. Listen to this. One veteran team executive expressed skepticism, saying, quote, "I don't think much of him. I don't think he can run anymore." He also questioned his ability to create separation from defenders and contribute as a deep threat. Basically, that man thinks DeAndre Hopkins is washed. Now, I don't think DeAndre Hopkins is washed. Based on what we saw last year, I don't think that he's washed. But you guys know my belief. That window is never as open for as long as you think, and players get old way faster than we want to acknowledge. I think it was obviously starting with Russell Wilson and people didn't want to pay attention to it. Like, something was wrong in Seattle. He then goes to Denver and completely falls off a cliff. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen to DeAndre Hopkins. I think this is a little bit overly critical. But I do think there is some potential problems of signing a 31-year-old who has now started to face injuries. He missed the last couple of games of the season with a knee injury. He tore his ACL two seasons ago. I don't think this is a no-brainer signing for anybody. I think you're paying for more of the name than the game, and the question is, how much does he have left? Because if I had told you guys whenever Julio Jones had left Atlanta, yeah, it's over. This is the end. Nah, man, you're being crazy, man. Julio Jones, it was over. It is over for Julio Jones. What's not to say this same thing couldn't happen to DeAndre Hopkins? Again, I think this is overly critical. Can't run anymore, can't separate, can't contribute as a deep threat. I still think he has a little bit more juice than left. We talking about a 31-year-old who is just starting to break down and starting to get hurt. You ain't got a whole lot of time left on that thing.
I mean, I think it's a little bit critical, but I think it's fair to look at. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins was never the Tyreek Hill, separate from you guy. Let's say he's gotten a quarter step. I won't even give him a half a step. A quarter of a step slower. Now every catch he makes, the jump ball, it's kind of a lot of pressure on the guy. It's a lot tougher for quarterbacks to be like, all right, I think he's open, but he can't separate. I do think it's a little bit critical, but for a guy who's battled injuries the last three seasons, and the only time he came back at 100% was right after he came off a PED suspension, which makes you think he may have come back because of PEDs. Like, it's fair to be critical of what he has left. I think that's a little harsh, but I think it's maybe closer to the truth than Chiefs fans want to admit.
I actually like this one. So there were three executives. The second executive said he's still a good player, good route runner, big physical target that can play the ball in the air. He's still a threat. The third one is kind of where I am with DeAndre Hopkins. He still has great hands, but he isn't going to separate much. We don't view him as much of a deep threat, but he's still incredibly strong and can make contested catches as well as anyone in the National Football League. Now, let me ask you guys this honestly. Let's remove the name from it. There's a 31-year-old wide receiver that is available. Do you think the Chiefs are going to be interested in a player his age that can't separate and isn't much of a deep threat, and isn't a burner? Tell me the last receiver that they spent decent money on that fit that characteristic. We ain't talking about them taking a flyer on Josh Gordon. Sure, Josh Gordon made the league minimum. If that's what DeAndre Hopkins is, then all right, fine. Bring DeAndre Hopkins in. We're talking about spending 12. We're talking about if the Chiefs sign DeAndre Hopkins, he will be one of the five highest paid players on the team. Look at their salary cap. Look at who's getting paid and who's not getting paid. If they sign DeAndre Hopkins to his value, to his worth, he'll be one of the five highest paid players on the team. That just doesn't sound like something the Chiefs would do to me, Rob.
It does not. I mean, outside of Kelsey, when was the last time, if ever, Brett Veach spent big money on a guy with a three in front of his age? Like, can we think of a time? Like, think of all the big-time free agents the Chiefs have added. And some of these are misses, some of these are hits, but these are the free agents the Chiefs have added, like the big money guys. Anthony Hitchens was, what, 25? Sammy Watkins was, what, 25, 26? And those weren't big wins, but those were 25, 26-year-olds. Tyrann Mathieu, the first time they signed was, what, 27? They walked on him when he was 30. They signed, you know, they traded for Frank Clark. He was, what, 28 when they traded for him? They probably won't sign him again to another big deal. His big money deal is behind him. They have historically, in the Brett Veach era, signed guys who are 25, 26, 27, given them contracts, and walked them at the end. Juju Smith-Schuster, although his contract wasn't big, got a contract from the Chiefs. He was, what, 25? He was a young guy still? Jerick McKinnon, I guess, is the only example you have on the other side, but he never got big, big money. The Chiefs don't drop massive money on outside-the-building free agents with a three in front of their age. And I know DeAndre Hopkins, you know, has a lot of history and a lot of clout with that name and will probably go to Canton one day. But this would be outside of what the Chiefs have historically done.
Text line 913-586-7610. CDOT, this is ridiculous. He's better than any receiver that we've had. I don't 100% disagree with that. I'm not sure if I agree, to be completely honest. Like, maybe I'm looking at this wrong, and I'll end up being the wrong party. But I think the Julio Jones comparison is fair. If I had told you guys in 2019 that we had seen the last version of Julio Jones, you guys would have killed me on the text line. Julio Jones was 30 years old. He had 99 catches for 1,400 yards and 6 touchdowns. Julio Jones was still one of the 5 best receivers in the National Football League. He hasn't had 1,400 yards if you add up the last 3 seasons for Julio Jones. And it kind of went like it's happening for DeAndre Hopkins. He was available. He got hurt. He got old. And now Julio Jones is 34 years old and kind of hanging on in the league. He had 300 yards receiving last year. Maybe that doesn't happen. Because it wasn't like it was 100% over. I mean, that next season. So Julio Jones' last great year was in 2019, the number I just read for you. In 2020, he played in 9 games. He had 700 yards receiving and had 3 touchdowns. You know who that sounds like, Rob? DeAndre Hopkins. That sounds like DeAndre Hopkins' last season for the Arizona Cardinals. And then it was over. It was over in Tennessee, and he is completely washed in Tampa Bay. I am not entirely convinced that that's not DeAndre Hopkins. Look at the National Football League. There are not a lot of super productive 31, 32, 30-year-old wide receivers. That's what makes Travis Kelce so special, that he is still playing at this incredibly high level and outside of his first year in the league has avoided serious major injury over a decade's time. That is not normal in the National Football League. Give me the other players in the league that are like that. I'll take it one step further. Give me the other players like that in league history that are like that. And we're talking about some of the greatest football players of all time. Barry Sanders, Tony Gonzalez, Jerry Rice. You don't go on a decade run of just complete. And normally around 31, 32 years old, your body starts to break down, and Kelce has been able to avoid that. I think it is clear that the check engine light is flashing with DeAndre Hopkins, and you just got to choose to pay attention to it or not. I wouldn't be interested in paying DeAndre Hopkins $15 million a year. I'd walk away. But I also think it's important that you have to notice where you are as a team. If I'm Buffalo, I'm more inclined to do that if I'm Kansas City. I'm trying to get over the hump if I'm a team like Buffalo. I'm trying to get over the hump if I'm a team like Detroit. I'm trying to get over if I'm a team like Jacksonville. This is not where Kansas City is. I think they're fine with their wide receivers. I'd be surprised if they signed DeAndre Hopkins. We can keep talking about this more coming up at the top of the hour because Jeremy Fowler seems to think that Kansas City is a very serious player for DeAndre Hopkins. We'll talk about it coming up in the hits. Keep it right here. So drive.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.